الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر إلى الذين خرجوا من ديارهم وهم ألوف حضر الموت فقال لهم الله موتوا ثم أحياهم إن الله لذو فضل على الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يشكرون ألم تر إلى الذين خرجوا من ديارهم. Have you not looked at those who went out of their homes and they were thousands because of the fear of death? فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُوا Then Allah said to them, die. ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ Then He gave them life. He brought them back to life. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ Indeed Allah is of favor upon people. Allah's favor upon the people is very great, in other words. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ But the majority of people are not grateful. There's a change of theme now. In previous verses, we learned about various aspects of marriage and divorce and iddah and proposals. Here, we are invited to reflect upon an incident, a very significant, a very major event which took place in Banu Israel. And through which Allah Azza wa Jal showed His signs and Qudra and showed how Allah's taqdeer and destiny reigns above everything else. We can do as we will and wish, but what is destined to happen and decreed by Allah will happen. And that Allah Azza wa Jal will revive us on the day of Qiyamah as He has revived many people in this dunya after giving them death. So there are various lessons and morals in this one single ayah. And it opens with the words, Alam Tara. And if you translate this literally, it means, have you not seen? However, it's not because you are expected to have seen something which happened in history before you were born. This is in the singular. Has thou not seen, O Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You in the modern context, we use it for the singular and the plural, but it's actually the plural. It used to be used, as in many other languages, for respect for one person as well, and then it overtook the use of the singular. So we use the word you for the singular and the plural now in English. But it's actually plural. But alam tara is for the singular. And of course, by extension though, it also applies to the khitab, the address is humanity in the broader sense. So why is this word used, alam tara? Because, the mufassirin say, knowledge, ilm, is often the consequence of sight. You see the sun and you know that it is day. You see the sun setting and you know that now it's the beginning of the night. You see Zayd in the masjid and you know that Zayd came to the masjid. Yes? So, sight and looking leads to knowledge and inferring. It's a consequence. Ilm is a consequence. لَيْسَ الْخَبَرُكَ الْمُعَيَنَ As the narration says, to hear it from somebody else is not the same as seeing it yourself. Seeing it yourself is more powerful. And so, when something is so well established that you can't possibly deny it, even though you didn't see it, it's often treated as though you did see it. Do you believe that there's a country called Australia in the world? Have you been there? No. There are hundreds of examples. Do you believe that you have a brain? Have you seen it? Well, you are bil yaqeen, you're sure that you have a heart and a brain. You don't need to open the head up to see it. So, there are many facts which are so evidently, manifestly true, although a person can make a mistake and sometimes confuse things which are not facts, assumptions, but there are many facts which are so evidently true that no one denies them. And so, if something, this is known as mutawatir in Arabic, when so many people report it and know about it that you can no longer doubt it. It's not possible for them all to have made a plan that we're going to make up this false story. We're not talking about fake internet news here, where you can put these bots into action. Allah have mercy on a world in which the information technology sort of moguls, what shall you say, and are ruling the world, huh? The separate discussion, not the remit of our discussion here, right? Are you following me? Yes? So, but the point is, when people tell you, so someone comes into the masjid and says, down the road I saw this, and somebody else comes in and says, I saw this. Okay, let's say that there's a football match. Doesn't matter what the referee said. Let's use an example which you might be able to relate to a bit better. There was so many tens of thousands of people there, and they saw that there was foul play. He touched the ball with his hand or whatever it was. Yes? So now, there are so many people that saw it with their own eyes in clear view, and everybody's reporting the same thing, that no one doubts the truth of the matter. Normally, in a court of law, two witnesses are sufficient. But this isn't tawatur. Tawatur is when you have large numbers of witnesses. So, do we believe that the Second World War happened? There are still some survivors, in large numbers, in fact, around the world. But we were not there. Okay, do we believe the First World War happened? We believe it, don't we? Nowadays, there's hardly any survivors from the First World War. So, there are scores of examples. So, when something is proven beyond doubt by scores of people because of historical narratives which are so, which have been reported consistently to the degree that there can be no doubt in the matter, or through revelation in scripture, previous anbiya and nations have known those to be facts, then they are treated as though they have been seen by the naked eye. And so in the Quran, for such facts which cannot be denied, these words are used, have you not, alam tara? The nuhat, the bulagha, the fusaha of Arabic, the nahwi sibawi. He says this is used for tanbih, for something. For tashweeq, it's for you to pay attention and to have an interest in something. The masters of Arabic eloquence, they say that it's to draw your attention to something and to create and generate an interest in your heart. Listen to what's coming next. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. The Arabs, it was fresh in their memory. Amul fil. And the Prophet is now born. So even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born after the event of Abraha and the elephants, which marched upon Makkah, yeah? Are you following? You know the story, don't you? And they were pelted with the ababil, with stones. The ababil were birds that pelted them with stones, dropped stones on them, which went through them like bullets, and the whole army of elephants was left in pieces, was destroyed. This was not something which was a story from the distant past. It was what happened in Makkah, in Hijaz, in Arabia, and it was a huge marching army. People had seen their corpses in living memory. And so even when the verses are revealed upon the Prophet ﷺ, because everybody knows it, every kid on the street knows this happened in Makkah. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka. The same words they use. It's as though you've seen it, though you've not seen it. Have you not seen how much death there is in Gaza? Well, you weren't there, but it's tawatur. We have no doubt whatsoever that tens of thousands of children and women and adults, innocent people, are being bombed and killed directly. Yes? This this continuous succession of war crimes which are being committed here. And so the There's no doubt. You don't have to have gone to Gaza. There's tawatur in this. The whole world is agreed. Everybody knows the truth. Anyone who denies it is an obvious liar, falsifier, confused person, misguided person. There's no doubt that it's happening. So this is used, have you not seen, to create an interest in an event which cannot be denied, even if you've not actually seen it, because it's as though you've seen it with your own eyes. So which event is this? This is an event which took place in Banu Israel. أَلَمْ تَرَى إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ Have you not seen? Meaning, think about, be interested in, dwell upon, draw the lessons from those خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ who left their homes, دار, plural diyar. وَهُمْ أُلُوف, plural of alf, which means a thousand. They were in their thousands. Now the Quran doesn't go into any detail beyond the necessary amount for the benefit. Yes, sometimes the same event is mentioned in different parts of the Quran, and based on the context of the mentioning in a different part of the Quran, it comes with a different detail. And we can put all those different details together. So we know the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Fir'aun. It's mentioned in so many places in the Quran, but there are different details in each place and there's a different context. But in any particular context, a certain amount of detail is given, because the Quran is not, a certain amount of detail is given only because the Quran is not an entertainment. It's not there for entertainment value. It's there for ibrah, i'tibar. It's there to take lessons. So what's relevant and necessary, we're told. We're not told the color of the clothes of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam or his favorite food, as you might in a story, in a fairy tale. Because that's not important. What we can learn from, we're told. Do we understand? So here, how many thousands were there? Does this mean we shouldn't have an interest? No, we can have an interest. And the Mufassirin have a huge interest in the Quran because of its special nature. And they study this, and they research it, and they go into, delve into the scriptures and historically, and into the narratives of history, and they explore. And then they draw various conclusions. But it makes no difference to the story. The truth of it, the moral of it, in the sense that whichever opinion you go with, you'll find various opinions from 40,000, 30,000, 8,000, 4,000, 3,000. There are many opinions on how many there may have been. Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi says that there will have been at least 10,000, based on the word itself. How? See, how many, if I say I have a pen, how many do I have? If I say I have pens, how many do I have? At least 2 in English, yes? Yes? In Arabic, there are different types of forms. Really, the dual is a plural as well, but there's a separate form for the dual. That's a type of jama, which is for 2. Yes? So one pen is qalamun, one qalam, qalam. 2 a, you add the sound, so to speak, ani at the end. It becomes qalamani. Yes? Yes? So if I say, li qalam, indi, ladayya, qalam, how many pens do I have? 1. And qalaman, 2. And if I say aqlam, it's more than 2. This is jam qillat. This means 3 to 10 usually. It's used variably, but normally aqlam means how many? 3 to 10. This is known as jam qillat. This is a plural used for a small number, several, usually 3 to 10. Okay? Yes? And there's another plural, jam kathra, lil kathra. It's used for more than 10. Does this make sense? Although there's a variation in their usage, there's an overlap as well. So, uluf is the plural of alf, and alf means a thousand, and uluf is jam'ul kathra. Okay, it's for takthir, yes? And this means at least 10,000, more than 10,000. So Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi says there will have been at least 10,000, more than 10,000, yes? Okay, so, but the number isn't the point. If it wasn't possible to benefit from the moral, without the specific number, the Quran would have mentioned the number. So we can take the benefit of the story. I mean, does it matter how many people there are in Glasgow? How can I say? If we're talking about Glasgow in a generic sense, we were just speaking about Australia. We can talk about the numbers there. But the exact number isn't relevant to prove the point that... Does this make sense? That a certain event happened in Australia, for example. Do we follow? Since Australia is coming up in others. So here, وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ There were many thousands of people. Thousands. أَلَمْ تَرَى إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ And they left their houses. Why did they leave their houses? To flee from death. because they were afraid they're going to die. Yes? Hadar al-maut, because of the fear of death. Hadar al-maut, to beware of death, to run away from death, because they were afraid of death. What happened? Why were they afraid of death? The Jamhur, which means the majority of the Mufassirun, say that there was a plague there. There was some of you will have studied the Black Death in school, if you want to study British history, yes? There was a plague there, a ta'un, a waba, an epidemic, widespread disease, meaning many people were affected by it. And these people were concerned that they were going to die too. So what did they do? They ran from that land because they wanted to flee death. There is another opinion that the Nabi of the time had given them an instruction, a call to battle, and they were afraid of going into the front lines. And so Ukraine is recruiting for the front line on that side, and Russia is recruiting for the front line on that side. Conscripts, yes? So Anbiya alayhi salam in Banu Israel, they were in large numbers, and many of them were kings as well, and there were instructions from Allah in the Israelites. So there was an instruction, a call for battle, and they fled the battlefield. They didn't want to go and fight. That's another opinion here. The majority of the Mufassirun say this is relating to a plague. So they fled the city. They fled their homes because they didn't want to die. So what happened? فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُ So Allah said, die. Allah gave them death despite not being in the place where they thought they were going to die. Allah showed them that it's not the plague that kills you. So they all died. They lay there dead for a period of time. One opinion is that it was about a week, 8 days or so, and there was a Nabi of the time in Banu Israel called Hizqil alayhi salatu wasalam. And he was passing by and he saw in that particular region and he saw their dead bodies. And he took pity on them and he made dua. He supplicated to Allah to have mercy on them. And so Allah accepted his dua. ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ Then Allah brought them back to life. Does this normally happen? Normally when a person dies, he doesn't wake up again in this dunya, right? Yes? Sometimes it does happen. The people of the cave, Ashabul Kahf, they didn't die. Allah Ta'ala put them to sleep. That's different. They just had a long sleep. 309 years. That's Allah's qudra. Sometimes a person goes into a coma, and they are in that coma for years at a time, and then people have woken up from comas after many years. It's happened. So here it was sleep. But then the story of Uzair alayhi salatu wasalam, Alam tara ila alladhi marra ala qaryatin wa hiya khawiyatun ala urushiha qala anna yuhyi hadhihi Allahu ba'da mawtiha fa amatahu Allahu mi'ata 'amin thumma ba'atha. Allah gave death to Uzair alayhi salam for 100 years. Then he brought him back to life. So that was death. This was death. Similarly, the example of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, wa uhyil mawta bi idhnillah. He'd go to a qabr and say, qum bi idhnillah, stand with Allah's permission, and the dead person would wake up and stand. And this happened. So there are examples of people waking up from death. So this is such an example. What happened is they had died. And Hizqil alayhi salatu wasalam did dua for them. Allah accepted the dua and Allah gave them life again. ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ Now, this is the story. What's the moral in the story? Lots of morals in the story. First of all, if there's a plague, what should you do? First and foremost, لَا عَدْوَى وَلَا طِيَرَى The hadith says that diseases of themselves don't spread. They don't have some innate ability to spread in the sense that is absolute. It should never be taken like that. It's through the qudra of Allah. Did we go through the epidemic during COVID? Yes or no? Did everybody get affected? No. Many people did. Some people passed away. Yes? Some people were ill quite seriously. Some people were not affected at all. Even though everybody was living together in the same house. I mean, a friend of mine, he nursed his mother on a daily basis for weeks at a time because she was seriously ill. He wasn't affected. So this happens. It's not necessarily everybody. So what we need to remember, the key point to remember, is that it's Allah's qudra. Whoever Allah wills becomes ill. Does that mean we shouldn't take caution, precautions? No, it doesn't mean that either. What's the instruction? The instruction is that if you are in a place in which there is a plague, an epidemic, then you should stay there. You should trust in Allah, you should stay in that place. And if you are in a place in which there is no epidemic, no plague, and there's a place in which there is an epidemic, a plague, you should not go there. In other words, if you're already there, stay there. And if you're not there, don't go there. And this is the wisest medical advice that you can possibly give as well. Because people who are in that area, if you take the scientific argument, then they are a risk for other people as well. Does this make sense? So, in fact, this actually happened in the time of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu's khilafah. There was a plague in Sham. And Allah have mercy on its people. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he traveled there. And he came to a place, and then Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the Ashra Mubashara, a senior sahabi, he narrated the hadith to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The same instruction: if you're there, stay there, and if you're not, don't go there. Sayyidina Umar heard the hadith and he turned back. When he turned back, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, another senior sahaba, also from the Ashra Mubashara, he asked Sayyidina Umar, "Atafirru min qadarillah? Are you running from Allah's decree?" And Sayyidina Umar said, historically, he says, "We're running from the decree of Allah to the decree of Allah. From the qadr of Allah to the qadr of Allah." Meaning, we are leaving this place and going back. But we're not fleeing the qadr of Allah, because that applies there and here. To explain this further. See, if you're ill, that's the qadr of Allah. Yes? You've become ill. It's in taqdeer, so it's happened. Are we following? And you take medicine. Are you running away from the qadr of Allah? No. It's in the qadr of Allah that you'll take medicine. And there's an instruction to do so. So our job is to do what we've been told to do, to the best of our ability, and to believe in taqdeer at the same time. So whatever we do is still the taqdeer of Allah. You can't run from Allah's taqdeer. The fact that we're having the tawfiq, one patient takes the medicine and the other doesn't, it's the qadr of Allah. But it doesn't take your obligation away to fulfill your side. You still have to make an effort. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned taqdeer to the sahaba, and he mentioned that a person is either shaqi or sa'id in the akhirah. And so the sahaba says, should we then not bother? In other words, nattakilu. And the Prophet says, should we not make an effort? And the Prophet says, no, make an effort. Kullun muyassarun lima khuliqala. Everyone is given ease in what they've been created for. The fact that Allah has brought us into the masjid, inshallah, is a sign that Allah will bring us towards Jannah. Because good a'mal should be taken as a good omen from Allah. But ultimately, it's in Allah's hands and we don't know. We should never be complacent. Because a person can make a wrong move as they're dying, and that can take them towards Jahannam, or vice versa. All their life they've not done anything good, and then the last thing they do takes them to Jannah. Do we understand? So Sayyidina Umar, he says, we're running from Allah's Qadr to Allah's Qadr. And then he expressed his disappointment with a senior sahabi, Abu Ubaidah. He says that, you know, I wish I hadn't heard this from you. In other words, a man of your stature should have such wisdom and understanding that this objection shouldn't even enter your mind, that we're running from Allah's taqdeer. Do we understand? So this is the instruction. So the point here is that that's there. And what these people did was the opposite. They left the place where the ta'un was, the wababa was. They shouldn't have. They should have stayed put there, because they were already there. And they thought they could escape death. So Allah showed them that actually, you know, you think you're escaping death. Death is right near you. Allah Ta'ala can give it to you any time. فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُوا ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ. So, there's the lesson relating to taqdeer here. There's the lesson relating to what we should do in the state of an epidemic or a plague. And there's also the manifestation of Allah's qudra in His ability to revive us physically. That a dead body can come back to life. if Allah wills it to do so, and we all will be resurrected. And this is an aqidah, a belief of Islam, which is necessary to be a Muslim. A person who denies the physical resurrection, that we will physically stand up on the day of Qiyamah, yes, is not a Muslim. And a Muslim who begins to believe this loses his iman. It's a necessary part of iman to believe in ba'ath ba'd al-maut. Do we understand? Yes? And Allah Ta'ala's favor is upon us that we know this. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Indeed, Allah's favor is great upon the people. لَذُو فَضْلٍ, this tanqir, this tanween implies greatness. A huge favor of Allah is upon us. How is Allah's favor upon us? Because He shows us His signs. And because He teaches us these events through the Anbiya, through the Qur'an. He gives us the ability to understand. This is Allah's fadl. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. But most people don't observe shukr. In other words, shukr should be observed for this knowledge as well, for these signs as well, which revive our iman, refresh our iman. Yes? So this acknowledgement of Allah's favor through ilm as well is part of shukr. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ حَضَرَ الْمَوْتِ. Did you not see? In other words, did you not look towards and dwell upon those who left their houses in their thousands because of the fear of their death, and Allah instructed them to die, then He revived them. Indeed, Allah's favor is great upon the people, but most people, أَكْثَرْ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ, don't observe shukr. Just a word on shukr and then we conclude. Yes? Shukr is with the heart and the tongue and the actions. With the heart it's an acknowledgement. With the tongue it's an acknowledgement as well. Shukr is for Allah, when the ni'mah is from Allah. And when it comes through a person, part of shukr to Allah is expressing the shukr to the other person as well. We're instructed to do that. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. If you don't show your appreciation to other people, you're not fully showing your appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person who doesn't even say thank you to another person, or jazakallah, will hardly say alhamdulillah to Allah. And it's about using that ni'mah in the proper way. And that includes knowledge, which is a very superior ni'mah. It has such special status that, how can we say? Okay, let's just conclude with this. It's a ni'mah out of this world, which will stay with a mu'min in his qabr and on the day of qiyamah and into Jannah. It cannot be, there's no price that you can put upon it. It's a nur which Allah places in the heart of a believer. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. So we should appreciate it by doing amal upon it, remembering it, acting upon it, and passing it on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to understand. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَنَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ. Inshallah, from next week, the dars will be on Tuesdays. From next week, the dars will be on Tuesdays, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan.